Shalom and good morning. I want to welcome you again into our discussions. It is so sweet to go through the scriptures verse by verse, part by part, paragraph by paragraph, book by book, chapter by chapter, just to understand what God is saying to us. We don't just go through the scripture for the sake of going through the scripture. We are hearing the message of our Father. We are taking time to allow God to speak to us and to minister to our lives. But above all, we want to be like Him. Today, we want to see how the forgiveness of the community of believers can bring comfort to a repented offender or to one who has repented. Paul, here in chapter 2 of the Second Corinthians, he pours his heart. In this letter of 2 Corinthians, it is the most intimate letter of all the letters that Paul wrote. He poured his heart. You can hear the triumphs of Apostle Paul. Paul did not also hide his tears. He did not also hide his cry and the many, many issues of pain that he went through. What a good letter to allow us to reflect on our lives today. He speaks of how he was wounded by sinful brothers and what a brother who sins does in the community. You see, because we are a community of believers, when one of us sin, he or she hurts or wounds himself. Just like a team, maybe a football team, when one is hurt or sins or goes through a painful occasion and hurts himself, he hurts himself. But that hurt does not only hurt the player or the individual. That hurt or the painful occasion is able to affect the whole team, because the whole team will be hurt, will be defeated by the contender, by the enemy. We are out there fighting the powers of darkness. And so the heart of one person hurts the rest of the team. And so we should make sure that we quickly come in and deal with the hurting of one person, because it's going to affect the entire team. And so Paul here now gives some of what he thought in his heart. And then he said, "So I made up my mind that I would not make another painful visit to you. For if I grieve you, who is left to make me glad but you whom I have grieved? I wrote as I did so that when I came, I will not be distressed by those who should have made me rejoice. I had confidence in all of you that you would all share in my joy. For I wrote you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love to you." Now, Paul first, before he talks about forgiveness of an offender, he first of all says how God had healed him. And he said that he had to change his journey plans instead of visiting these people, these children of his in Corinth. He decided to write a letter. But a letter, he said, I wrote out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know. So the purpose of writing was not to grieve them. Although he wrote crying, I want you to see, Paul, that the letter was soaked with tears. He says, I wrote you out of great distress. He was a man out of distress. He was pouring his heart through writing. And he was having anguish of heart. He had many tears. Now, this is the most personal way of expressing himself. He said, I did not come to you. Remember, he had already visited these people and had a personal visit that was also very, very confrontational. And then he discovered if he continues doing this, he will destroy his children. So he decided to not to go again physically, but first of all, to write. And when he wrote, he said why he did this. He said, "There's not why I don't want to keep hurting you again, and I need now to bring healing to you. I want to become source of healing. My trauma has been healed." As you can see, what has been said here is talks about trauma, the trauma of a pastor. He said, "Look, the reason to why I'm doing this is because my joy comes from your joy." Brothers and sisters, if this is the way we look at each other in a community, that my joy comes from my sister, my joy comes from my brother. In other words, I have to work on your joy so that my joy will be complete. Remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so Paul says, this is how I'm looking at you. Although I have written to you strongly and with a lot of tears, I want you to change. I want you to know that God loves you. I wrote out of the depth of my heart, my love for you. I love you. And the love is that my joy is your joy. That's why I wrote you, and I need you to change. Now, after writing this painful, sorrowful letter, the Corinthians church wrote, read this letter, and they were heartbroken. It broke them completely. They got into sorrowful. The sorrow of God, what we call the godly sorrow, and they repented. The offender repented. The people pushed so hard to the offenders, and the offender gave in, and he repented. But unfortunately, they did not know where to stop. You see, when you are reprimanding your son, you have to know how many canes you need to give him or her or daughter. If you give him two, the purpose of reprimanding or pinching or even spanking or even taking a cane is not to destroy them. It's because you love them. But if you give him three and you discover he has changed, you don't need to give him five or six or ten. That now will be abusive. Now, this church it seems that the offender repented, but they continue, to hurt him or to reprimand him all the more, and they didn't, because they knew Paul had told them. But Paul is saying, no, if enough, enough. You don't need to keep beating him. You don't need to, to heap all those insults on him. He has repented. They have forgotten Jesus, instruction. He says, when somebody sins, reprimand him. When they repent, forgive him. Now, this is what the church of Corinth did not know. They knew the first part, that when somebody sinned, rebuke them. That was good. But when they repent, forgive them. They had forgotten the second part. And so this section, Paul is writing to show them that if they have repented, I forgive you. That's why he said, I change all my plan now to forgive you. Then he said this, if anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved you. All of you, so to some extent, not to put it so severely. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. This is what you're saying. Punish offenders, but get to know at what time you should stop. You know how types of rebuke should be a letter, should be face to face, should be a cane, should be, you know, there are several methods. But once you punish and inflict him, it was not supposed to finish him. It was supposed to make him change. See, that's sufficient. Now, instead, you ought to forgive him and comfort him. That's the basis. So that we'll not be overwhelmed by the excessive sorrow. So this is why you are not supposed to continue, because we don't want to exceed the sorrow. That's number one. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. Another reason I wrote to you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Anyone who forgives, I also forgive, and I have forgiven. If there is anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. So the reason to why he says that you need to forgive this person and to reaffirm your love for him is so that Satan will not take advantage of the excessive sorrow of this person, because we know the schemes of the devil. We know what Satan uses. Every time we continue to let Satan take advantage of our good intention, we should stop it so that Satan does not take advantage. In Jesus' name, amen.